We're going to read from Matthew chapter 1 and begin to read at verse 18. We'll read from verse 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Joseph was somewhat concerned. He had just been given that news from Mary about the fact that she was with child. It must have come at quite a shock. It wasn't something that was expected. And he faces a dilemma. And the dilemma was, marry or divorce, divide. And in a dream, an angel appears. And the angel brought him the promise of Christmas. Matthew 1:20 says, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.'" Can you imagine having that in your mind? Joseph realizes that this was a sign that was being given. The sign of the virgin birth had been given to the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel." Same words spoken to Joseph fulfill the promises made. A birth that could not be explained, and yet a promised miracle. Trying to explain that to children and to young people about a virgin birth, to try and explain it to adults, is difficult. But that was the reality, because that was what God had promised. And God fulfills his promises. God's promises are not half promises. They're not the sort of promises that I and perhaps you make. They are fulfilled. In Isaiah 1, the pronouncement of a son, Jesus. Jesus was and is the promised Messiah. And we find those words in Isaiah 9. Verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. A son sent by the Father. And 1 John 4:14, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. Jesus just didn't come to be. He came to be the Saviour of the world. He came to fulfil that promise. And in Galatians, we find these words. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, and the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are son, God has made you also an heir. And God's promise in Luke 1 not only refers to Mary, but the promise to Elizabeth and Zechariah. You know, they too were fulfilled in the promise that God made. The birth of John, the one that we know as John the Baptist. And in Matthew 1:21, he would come to save his people from the sins. God's promise through Jesus that Jesus would come to save and would to take the sins of the world. That Jesus would come and take our sins and continues to take our sins. We've celebrated the coming of Jesus and we do it year on year. And sometimes we do it as the nativity and we change it slightly. But in actual fact is there is something more than just what we do. There is something that goes on beyond the birth. Because if we only remember that Jesus was born in a stable, placed in a manger, visited by shepherds and later by wise men, magi, whichever you want to call them, then we miss something of what God has fulfilled. God fulfilled the promise that he would send his Son into the world to save the world, that you and I and each and every one might be set free. That in the time that we have allotted to us, we're called to do and to share. There's nothing nicer than seeing a new baby. Is anybody like me, the smell of a new baby? You know, and that sort of touch, you know, that is so gentle. Those little fingers, when you just touch them, it's like something very new. And when we think about that, that's exactly as Jesus was as he was born. He was no different. But the difference was that Jesus came into the world to die for the world. And Jesus died upon a cross. And not long we'll be celebrating Easter. And even getting the concept of that, that there's a short gap between being born and dying. For some is difficult to comprehend. But there was that span of 30 plus years. But Jesus just didn't die, but Jesus was resurrected. Again, to fulfill the promises that had been made. Jesus died that we all might be saved. And he continually promises that never-ending love. Where other people will let us down, Jesus will never let us down. God will never let us down. God is the one permanent. God is the link that gets us the power and the energy that we need to fulfill our lives. He promises that he will never leave us or forsake us. Can we have that promise from those around us? As much as we might love our family and our friends. There are times when we will be let down. And there's times when we will let down our people ourselves. Can any of us say that we've never let anybody down? I don't think so. We may not have done it intentionally. But sometimes it's just the way it is. And so if Jesus is prepared through God to give all to us, what are we prepared then to give to him? I wonder how much of our time, actually we give over to God. I wonder how much time we actually give over in the sense of is, and I was thinking of the phone again, how much time do we spend on our mobile phones? Now, very little for some, and for others, too much. Too much. In actual fact is, it can become almost a burden, the phone, because people spend too much time on it. It's like anything that takes over our lives in one part or another. I mean, at one time, a mobile phone was like a brick. You saw people walking around the city of London going like this. It wasn't for everybody. But now the phone is for everybody. The dialogue that goes on. Sandra and I was on holiday last year, and there was a family of four, two, what looked like parents and two adult children. When I say that, it's about 17, 18, that sort of age group. And every mealtime, they sat with their phones on. They didn't communicate with each other at all. For 10 days, they sat at the same table with the same phones and some with these laptopy things that you have. Shows them what I know, doesn't it? Tablets. That's what I take in the morning. By gum, they're a bit big, aren't they? The communication between them as a family was zero. And I suppose that can become true for some of us if we're not careful. But the thing is that our conversation and our connection to Jesus needs to be more. It should be more than what we put into our phones or into our lives around our family and friends. It's like being in a prayer meeting. And when somebody says, we're going to spend 10 minutes just being quiet and praying. And after 2 minutes, you have a little. 10 minutes is a long time. 10 minutes becomes a long time. But in actual fact is, we need to spend that time to re-energize ourselves, to put ourselves right with God, and to listen to what God is actually saying to us. And this is a good time of year to sort of reflect and to look back and to see where we've been and to look forward to what might be into the future. We need to put our promise to God. And God knows that there will be times we'll fall short. But the one thing is that he doesn't keep that record of right and wrongs. There is forgiveness. And that forgiveness comes each and every time we're prepared to say we're sorry. And forgot sometimes is the only answer we can say to what we didn't do. But we want to serve Jesus to the end. God wants us to be the people he came and gave his son for. And we're going to sing a song. Oh Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. And sometimes it's difficult to sing those words because there is a promise to serve him to the end. But as we're called as Christians, that's what we set out to do, knowing that that will always be the challenge.